Syria, and the United States can go on funding Takfiri terrorists in the region and invading the Middle East with less opposition. So the first aim was to vilify Hezbollah, try and disarm them. The second aim of this massacre was to create sectarian tensions and plunge Lebanon into civil war. Hezbollah and Amal decided not to do either of those things, hence preventing the country from descending into chaos. Let us be clear, everyone has weapons in Lebanon. The difference, however, between the fascist Lebanese forces militia and Hezbollah is that Hezbollah never turns its guns on its own people. It uses them to defend Lebanon from foreign invaders and colonizers. Hezbollah is an integral part of the axis of resistance and is allied with Syria, Iran, and the popular mobilization forces in Iraq. So let's examine the events of the past week, because in Syria, Syria was bombed twice by Israel and the United States, who struck locations in Homs, south of the ancient, the beautiful city of Palmyra, killing one Syrian soldier and wounding three others. In Afghanistan, two suicide bombers struck mosques in Kunduz and Kandahar during Friday prayers, leaving over 100 people wounded or killed, most of the victims Shia Muslims of the Hazara ethnic minority. And then finally in Lebanon, this tragic massacre with snipers firing at peaceful protesters, again, most of them Shia Muslims and supporters of the resistance. All these things point to a concerted effort by the West and its regional allies to destabilize Lebanon, to provoke sectarian violence and start a civil war. They want to pit Muslims against Christians, Shia against Sunni, and destroy the multi-ethnic, multi-religious fabric of Lebanon. Amal and Hezbollah supporters were specifically targeted by fascists who have a long history of murder, and the mainstream media are trying to downplay this and hide it from them. But this plan of theirs to turn people against one another, to weaken Lebanon's security and weaken the axis of resistance, is not going to work. Their intent was clear from the beginning, and this is precisely why Hezbollah and Amal told people not to retaliate. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight. Recent research has shown that small increases in air pollution are linked to significant rises in depression and anxiety. It has also linked dirty air to increased suicides and indicated that growing up in polluted places increases the risk of mental disorders. We are prepared for an article written by Damien Carrington. The piece is titled "Study Shows Air Pollution Linked to More Severe Mental Illness." The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. According to the most comprehensive study of its kind, exposure to air pollution is linked to an increased severity of mental illness. The research involving 13,000 people in London found that a relatively small increase in exposure to nitrogen dioxide led to a 32% increase in the risk of needing community-based treatment and an 18% increase in the risk of being admitted to hospital. The researchers said the findings were likely to apply to most cities in developed nations, and cutting air pollution could benefit millions of people. Joanne Newbury, from the University of Bristol, part of the research team, said, "Air pollution is modifiable, and on a big scale as well, reducing pollution level exposure," adding, "We know there are interventions that can be used, such as expanding low emission zones. Mental health interventions at the individual level are actually quite difficult." The study used the frequency of admission to hospital or visits to community doctors and nurses as a measure of severity. The researchers calculated that a small reduction in one pollutant alone could reduce illness and save the United Kingdom National Health Service, NHS, tens of millions of pounds a year. Ioannis Bakoulis of King's College, University of London, who led the research, said levels of air pollution in London have fallen in recent years, but there is no safe level of pollution, adding, "Even at low levels of air pollution, you can observe this kind of very important effect." Recent research has shown that small increases in air pollution levels are linked to significant rises in depression and anxiety. It has also linked dirty air to increased suicides, an indicator that growing up in polluted places increases the risk of mental disorders. Other research has found that air pollution causes a huge reduction in intelligence and is linked to dementia. A global review in 2019 concluded that air pollution may be damaging every organ in the human body. The new study, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, tracked patients in South London from their first contact with mental health services and used high-resolution estimates of air pollution at their homes. Quarterly average nitrogen dioxide levels in the study area varied by between 18 and 96 micrograms per cubic meter. The researchers found that people exposed to 15 micrograms per cubic meter higher levels of pollution had an 18% higher risk of being admitted to hospital and a 32% higher risk of needing outpatient treatment after a year. The link was strongest for nitrogen dioxide, which is largely emitted by diesel vehicles, but was also significant for small particle pollution, which is produced by burning all fossil fuels. The small particle levels varied from 9 to 25 micrograms per meter cubed, and an increased exposure of 3 units increased hospital admission risk by 11% and outpatient treatment risk by 7%. The scientists assessed the patient data again 7 years after the first treatment and found the link to air pollution was still apparent. The findings were not explained by a range of possible other factors including age, sex, ethnicity, deprivation and population density, although unidentified factors might still play an important role. The researchers said identifying modifiable risk factors for illness severity and relapse could inform early intervention efforts and reduce the human suffering and high economic costs caused by long-term chronic mental illness. This study was not designed to prove a causal link between air pollution and the severity of mental illness. That requires difficult experimental work. But the researchers said the link is biologically plausible, as air pollutants are known to have potent inflammatory properties, and inflammation is believed to be a factor in psychotic and mood disorders. The World Bank has estimated that air pollution costs the global economy $5 trillion a year, but this includes only the well-known damage caused to heart and lungs. Joanne Newbery said, "Cost evaluations currently only factor in physical health, but we're seeing more studies demonstrating links with mental health." She added, "We think it can be important to include these, because it could tip the scales and make it clearer that investing in reducing air pollution is cost-effective." The researchers estimated that reducing the exposure of the United Kingdom's urban population to small particle pollution alone by just a few units to the World Health Organization's annual limit of 10 micrograms per cubic meter would cut the use of mental health services by as much as 2% and save tens of millions of pounds each year. Professor Kevin McConway from the Open University, who was not part of the study team, said, This is a good study. The statistical analysis is generally appropriate and does increase confidence that there is at least some element of cause and effect in the association between pollution and mental health. Professor Kevin McConway added, "But it's not easy for people to avoid pollution. Reducing air pollution in cities needs communal action on a broad scale." A separate new study has shown that heart attacks rise as the level of air pollution rises. The research examined data from southern Lombardy in Italy, an area with 1.5 million inhabitants. Francesca Gentile of the IRCCS Policlinico San Matteo Foundation in Pavia in Italy said, "The results could be used to predict the incidence of this life-threatening condition and improve health service efficiency by being factored into ambulance forecasting models and warning systems." The study was presented at the European Society of Cardiology 2021 Congress.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, first prerequisite of any work. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. If we reflect on the wide scope of the words "no movement" used in one of the traditions that we are going to recite for you, we will understand how all-encompassing the religion of Islam is. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "There is no movement or work that does not need insight, familiarity, and knowledge for its performance." So, no movement means that you may be thinking that you are moving towards achieving that goal, but in reality you are not moving towards that goal because you have not done the necessary homework for it. The insight is not there. The familiarity with that topic is not there. The knowledge for its performance is not there. So this means even if you try really hard without that proper insight and without that proper knowledge and without that proper familiarity, you're not going to get anywhere. And this is something that I feel is one of the mistakes we keep repeating in our life. You know, we have to reflect on this phenomena. Islam is all-encompassing religion that is giving us those golden principles for us to be able to live our lives in the best possible manner. Only if we listen to Islam, only if we follow Islam. You know, every time we violate anything that Islam has said, at some point, sometimes immediately, sometimes, you know, later in our lives, we regret that decision. Go ahead, test it on yourself. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the first prerequisite of any work. And we said anything we want to accomplish in our lives, any initiative, any project, any goal that we set for ourselves, if there's no proper insight, if there's no proper familiarity, and if there's no proper knowledge for its performance, we would think that we are moving towards it, while in reality, we won't be moving towards achieving or accomplishing that. It is not merely a series of worship, rituals, and invocations, or a set of beliefs without practical applications. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we're just going to launch something, start something, and pray that it becomes successful. Well, while prayer is really important, it's like, according to the tradition, it's a weapon of a believer. But this is not it. This prayer works if you have done those prerequisites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required from you and Prophet and Imams have informed us about. It provides a complete code of life for all personal and social concerns and endeavors. This is what Islam is. And its starting point is intelligence and knowledge of realities. You know, we cannot stay aloof of realities, make decisions, and then hope for it to quote-unquote succeed. Islam considers all movement and effort as fruitless or at best ineffective if it lacks adequate knowledge and correct guidance. So brothers and sisters, stop messing with your lives. Do things as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for you. Follow those proper channels and you will be successful in both the worlds. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at ParseToday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a brief but bright statement on the realities of life expressed by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O people, you should know that everyone who walks on the surface of this earth will eventually go beneath it.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming.
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, And that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Haas says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems
she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces.
The line is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future, we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
The world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters. Feast their eyes on the city's skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the opening.
The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has, for the first time, turned into an Oscar-qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down? It's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it, to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The Crying Room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who traveled to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mondano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mondano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country, where thousands of wildfires break out each year. Mm-hmm.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Sunday, is the 24th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Taha, verses
124 to 125. And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life, and we will gather him on the day of resurrection blind.
قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا.
He will say, My Lord, why have you raised me blind while I was once seeing?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friends, some Islamic literatures indicate that leaving the path of mastership of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, as well as leaving the duty of Hajj, have been counted as the denotation expansion of aversion, the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. The purpose of straits of life is not lack of money and straitened circumstances, while many of the rich, because of greed, fear, and anxiety, live in a hardship and straits. Therefore, he who has faith in Allah and is hopeful to his pure essence is safe from all these anxieties. We're talking about stress, and this is today's special, IRIB English Radio. Stress has unfortunately become a normal part of our lives. In modern society, it is one of the silent culprits that affects anyone. A little might not be too bad for anyone, but continuous stress can cause negative effects on your mind, body, and overall life. A stress statistic data showed that 77% of people in the United States regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress, Long-term stress can cause headache, acne, chest pain, high blood pressure, fatigue, teeth grinding, depression, and anxiety. Making use of stress management methods is essential to take charge of one's own health and mind. Although it is not an easy job, managing stress is a prerequisite to living a healthy and happy life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to confront stress or how to manage stressful situations. First of all, it must be indicated that having a firm belief or having a firm conviction regarding the divine wills and divine destiny and divine objectives reduces our stresses. In many cases, people usually come to manage everything on their own. However, they must be informed that those people who have firm belief in God, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and realize that whatever we do must be approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that in the world, nothing takes place save by the decision, the ultimate decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that this kind of belief gives kind of security and a kind of tranquility, especially in stressful situations. The Holy Quran in this connection is eloquent and to the point in that it says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people who, when they receive any calamity, they say, "We are from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. We are from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and to Allah, we are going to go back to return."
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Let's look at ways to lower our daily stress. One of the ways is eating right. Most people do not realize it, but food can also affect the stress levels. Certain types of food and drink can increase stress levels, such as fast foods, butter, cheese, meat, shellfish, sugar, tea, coffee, and soft drinks. This does not mean that you have to avoid them completely, but you should consume them in moderation. Other ways to control our stress. Remember that Allah says in chapter 7 in the Holy Quran, verse 31, "And eat and drink, but be not excessive." Indeed, Allah likes not those who commit excess.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
Some people like to drink tea or coffee when they are stressed from their studies or work. It may feel refreshing for a short time, but they are contain certain neurostimulators like caffeine, which are proven to increase stress levels. Fortunately, there are also some foods that can help relieve stress, particularly foods with a high vitamin and mineral content. These include fresh vegetables and fruits, yogurt and green smoothies. Some stress relievers actually cause more stress. Most of us have a few less than healthy ways of dealing with the stress. Unfortunately, most of these bad habits that feel so good at time can really cause much more stress in the long run. If you smoke, spend too much, or handle stress in a way you know may not be good for you, find resources for understanding how you're affecting your stress levels right now and find resources for healthier coping. Sayyid Saleh Al-Qazvini.
You find that some of the other problems that we have very prevalent in this society and even within our communities is the problem of stress and depression and anxiety. And my dear brothers and sisters, we might not talk about these. You know, if someone gets a sickness, if someone has cancer, heart disease, if someone has a sickness, right away the whole community finds out and they try to deal with it. You go to a doctor, you talk about this, and you deal with this, you take medicine. But we find that when we are dealing with these mental issues, mental health issues, many times we don't even deal with it. Many times we don't even confront it. And you find that sometimes in our own communities, in our mosques, it's a taboo topic to talk about. Every few months, every few years, you hear a young man die. But the parents, the family, you ask them how, they don't talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to confront it. The reality is, there are many that are dying because of drugs, because of depression, and sometimes it leads them to commit suicide. This is such a big problem that it leads a person who is very young, sometimes in their teens, in their 20s, they go and they take their own lives away. That means we have to deal with these issues. And if the masjid, in the mosque, we don't deal with these issues, then where do we expect these issues to be dealt with? Now, of course, not every mental health issue requires an imam, a clergy, to come and speak about it. No. A masjid requires all types of professionals to come. Maybe sometimes an expert in that field of mental health should come one day and give a lecture and speak to the community, speak to people, how to resolve these issues that our communities are dealing with today. This is the task and this is the job of a masjid. We have to provide for the needs of everyone in the community. Now, when it comes to mental health and when it comes to stress and depression, there are some things that are out of my reach. I can't talk about them. A doctor or a specialist needs to come here and needs to speak about these issues. It's not my job to come and try to cure those problems. However, we need to also place Allah in the equation. I'm not saying that you should not come to the masjid and just go to a specialist. No! We need to have both. We need to have both.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.